Okay, we're on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis 57B2, page 114, in middle of the page. In middle of the page where it says Basar V'Cholov. You see it? Maybe you don't have the right 114. Okay, in the Mishnah it said all the various things that are forbidden to benefit from. So if a guy does Kedusha with a woman, it's not valid Kedusha because he's not giving her anything, right? So the Mishnah said, Basar V'Cholov. One of the things that if a guy gives a woman a mixture of meat and milk, so the Gemara is going to explain that meat and milk is forbidden to benefit from. So let's say he gives her a cheeseburger that was cooked together, and he says, I ate mekadeshesli with this cheeseburger. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah said it's not a good Kedusha. So the Gemara says, Minolan, from where do we know that Basar V'Cholov, meat and milk, is forbidden to benefit from? So the Gemara says, Zetonet ve'Rabbi Shmuel, the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel taught, says in the Torah, Le'tzvashu g'di b'chalevim e'gimel pa'omim. The Torah says three times, do not cook a goat in its mother's milk. Page 114, middle of the page. The Torah says three times, we just read in Parshas Kisisa. Three times. Three times the Torah says, Le Savasha Gadi Bachalei Vimri. Okay? So, one, so Gemara says, why? One's in Shmais, one's in Zvarim. Twice in Shmais. Once in Mishpatim, once in Kisisa, and once in Parshas Re'ei. Three times the Torah says, Le Savasha Gadi. So the Gemara says, why does it say three times the same thing? Don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. Three times the Torah says the same thing. Echad Isra Achila, one teaches us that you're not allowed to eat it. Ve'echad Isra No, one is that you're not allowed to benefit from it. Ve'echad Isra Bishul, just cooking it. Meaning, the Gemara says, to cook meat and milk, even if you're not going to eat it, it's a sin. Like if you're a chef in a restaurant, and they make you cook, meat and milk together, the actual cooking of it is forbidden. The actual eating it is forbidden, and not only that, you can't benefit from it. So therefore, if Basar V'Cholov is Asur Bahanah, you can't benefit from it. So obviously, you can't do Kedushin with a woman, because you have to give her something that's valuable, and this is not valuable, because it's worthless.
What? If let's say you just had dinner with somebody and you got a steak, and then you go to the market, and then you're going inside, they say, give me a Snickers bar, and they're going to eat it right away. What do you do?
Let's not get over there. Technically, you could, but that's a different thing completely. That is, are you allowed to help somebody sin?
No, but you're going to technically.
That's what I'm saying. You're helping them sin. That's a whole separate issue. So the Gemara says like this. It's a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, Masnitzin Leiki Haitanim. The Mishnah does not go according to this opinion. Because we learn, our Mishnah says, meat and milk is forbidden to benefit from. But there's an opinion that says, meat and milk you could benefit from. What's that opinion? Because it says, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Eimer, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says, Basar V'Cholov, Asar Ba'Achila, U'Mutar Ba'Anah. Basar V'Cholov, you're not allowed to eat, but you can benefit from it. Shanama, where does he learn it out from? Because it says in the Pasuk, Ki am kodesh ato l'shem alakecha. You are a holy nation to Hashem, le'sevashu g'di b'chalei v'imei. Don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. And another Pasuk it says, about trefa meat, va'anche kodesh tihi yunli. You should be holy people and not eat trefa meat. Okay? So malahalan osir b'achila mutar b'hanah. In other words, like this: this pasuk says, "Be holy, don't cook meat and milk." Another pasuk says, "Be holy, don't eat not kosher." Right. So the Gemara says, and we're likening the two holies. Now, just like by non-kosher meat, where's the Gemara? Just like by non-kosher meat. You could benefit from it, right? So the Gemara learns out, Rav Shimon Yehuda says, the same thing, meat and milk, you can also benefit from. You just can't eat it.
Isn't that a Torah
Kal V'Chomer, right? No, it's not a Kal V'Chomer. It's what's called a Hekesh. Here it says holy, here it says holy. Okay? So we liken this Pasuk to this Pasuk.
Isn't that supposed to be from Moshe
Rabbeinu? Yeah, but that's called Gzeirah Shavah. This is not Gzeirah Shavah. No. This is what's called a Hekesh. We liken A to B. Okay? Just like the holiness of one Pasuk says, do not eat not kosher food. Meaning though, but you could benefit from it. You can't own, by the way, a non-kosher meat company. You can benefit if you have something non-kosher. You can sell it to a guy, you can give it to a dog, you know, things like that. But you can't make a business out of something which is biblically forbidden to eat. That's a separate issue.
How about wine?
So let's say, before you become religious, you own a non-kosher meat factory.
You have to sell it when you,
become
religious.
Kosher, then you have to...
Once you become religious, you lose all your money anyway. So it doesn't matter. You might as well sell the business when you can.
How about Trey Flynn, Rabbi?
Yeah, and you can't.
But if you're employed?
Huh?
If you are employed, you go to McDonald's, get the cheeseburger for them, and give it to them.
Can't. Malhalan osib achila mutabano. It's the same way. Just like over there by Treif, it's forbidden to eat, but you could benefit from. Afkan osib achila mutabano. The same thing over here. You can eat it. You cannot eat it, but you can benefit from it. So the brother's very interesting argument. The Shim ben Yehuda holds meat and milk you can benefit from. The Chachamim hold meat and milk you cannot benefit from. So therefore our Mishnah that says if a man gives a woman meat and milk as kedushin, it's not a good kedushin because he didn't give her anything, because something forbidden to benefit from is ownerless, worthless, valueless. But according to Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, it would be a good kedushin. Because according to him, you could benefit from meat and milk. So if you give a lady meat and milk together, she can sell it to him and she can benefit from it. So it would be a valid kedushin. What do you do with Leis Vashu Gdiv Chalini? No, it's all different things. What? The halacha is he can't benefit from. No. But by the way, that's only... That's only number one, meat, not chicken. Because chicken's only rabbinically forbidden. Because when the Torah says, Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imoy, Torah says, the Torah doesn't say, don't cook meat and milk. The Torah says, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. So the Gemara learns out, that's only what is meat, an animal whose mother has milk. But by a chicken, there's no milk. Right? So therefore, the Gemara learns out that min ha-teira, chicken, is not meat and milk. The Chachamim came along and said, because it's similar, looks similar, whatever, it's called meat, so we don't have it. But therefore, the halacha is, meat, chicken and milk, it's not forbidden to cook, and it's not forbidden to benefit from. So in other words, according to that, if a guy would give a woman a cheese chicken sandwich that's cooked together, so then it would be a valid kedushin because you could benefit from it.
Cheese, meat.
With chicken.
Cheese and chicken?
You can't eat, but you could benefit from.
How about rennet, Rabbi? Rennet,
okay, that's, you could, where do you get these cave things?
That's
I know. Yeah, but it's spoiled already, so it's not meat anymore. Let's stick to the topic. By the way, there's one more din with meat and milk, which is also very important to know. You can only not benefit from meat and milk if it's meat of a kosher animal. Not slaughtered or shechted. A kosher species. Like for instance, if you have chazer and cheese, it's not forbidden to benefit from.
Like you give it to your dog.
You can give it to your dog. If you have dog food that has, let's say, pig's meat and milk in it, that you can give to a dog. But if you have dog food that says beef from a cow, even though it's obviously treif because it's not shechted, right, and not salted, it doesn't matter. Over there, meat and milk prohibition applies. Over there, meat and milk prohibition applies because it is from a kosher species.
So in that case, you could give your worker, like he asked, pork with cheese?
Pepperoni.
What do you mean give him?
Well, you're benefiting because you're giving
it. What do you mean giving it? Yeah, but how are you supposed to get it?
You could buy it.
You can't buy it.
If you buy it for him.
You can't buy it from, because somebody, you walk into a store, you walk into McDonald's. You, look at you. You walk into McDonald's. Yeah. No, people are going to think you're buying treif.
Hey, if he walks into McDonald's, they won't know if he's religious or not.
Huh? He's such a holy guy.
You want another hat? If you want another hat like he has, they won't know he's religious.
Okay.
You
can give him money to buy what he wants. That you could do.
What if you order a pizza like delivery?
Pepperoni?
Pepperoni. Let's say you have day laborers. They want a pepperoni pizza.
They can order. You can't. Okay. Right. The next din the Mishnah said is something called Chulin Shenish Chutru Bazaret. This is a din that needs a little bit of explanation. A few things as an introduction to this Gemara. The Mishnah said Chulin, that means everyday meat that was shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, is forbidden to benefit from. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said. If somebody does Kedushin with a behemoth, let's say you wanted to eat meat, okay, you brought a chicken to the Beis HaMikdash for yourself, not for a carbon, and they shechted it, that meat, number one, you did an Aveda, as we're soon going to learn, because the Torah says you cannot shecht your meat in the Beis HaMikdash, only a carbon. But in addition to that, it becomes forbidden to benefit from. The Gemara is going to learn, explain how we learn it out. So therefore, if somebody did Kedushin with something that was chulin means mundane meat, that was shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't benefit from it. That's number one.
Why does it say unconsecrated? Should we say consecrated?
Huh?
Right after
where? Chulin?
No, the translation of it. Chulin Shemishta.
Yeah, unconsecrated animals slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. That means it wasn't a carbon. You just brought, you wanted dinner. So you brought a chicken, and the Kohenim knows how to shecht, right? So you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, say, hey, do me a favor, shecht this chicken for me. Or shecht is goat for me. And he shechts it. You can't eat. Number one, the Kohen did a sin.
But wouldn't the Kohen know that?
Yeah, I'm saying, what happens if he did it? He didn't know. He thought it was a carbon. Whatever. The bottom line is, regular, everyday meat that was shechted in the Beis HaMikdash is not kosher. Not only is it not kosher, you can't benefit from it. Therefore, if a man does kedushin with a woman, with this meat, he's not, again, it's not a good kedushin. So Gemara says, Minohani Mili, where do we learn this out from? From where do we learn that you cannot, the chulin shenish through bazara is forbidden to benefit from? So it says, Amr Rabbi Yechim Yishum Rab Meir, Rabbi Yechim said the name of Rab Meir. It says like this, Amr HaTeir, the Teir says, Shchait li b'shali v'shalo b'shaloch. The Teir says like this, can we have some more Gemara's down there? No more Gemara's? No, they're... Okay, Hashem says, this is what the mayor says, Shchait li b'shali v'shalach b'shalach. Slaughter mine in my place, you slaughter yours in your place. And this is what Hashem says. So what does it mean? Ma shali b'shalach asur. Just like if Hashem says, what is this? Hashem says an expression. Shecht, slaughter my meat in my place, and you slaughter your meat in your place. Okay? Which means, if somebody shechted a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not valid. So the same way, if you shecht not carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, it's also not valid. And that's what he says. Ma shali b'shalach asur, just like my things, meaning a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash by you, is not. Af shalach b'shali asur. It's the same thing. Yours, to slaughter or mine, also not. Hashem says, let's keep separation of church and state. You shecht yours in your place, I shecht mine in my place, and therefore it's forbidden. So Gemara says, 1 minute, if that's the case, if we're likening the two together, the din is, if you shecht the carbon, the Torah says, if you shecht the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says, v'nichrasa ha-nefesh ahi, you get karis. God kills you. I mean, you die a premature death. If that's the case, then if you shecht your animal in the Beis HaMikdash, you have the same punishment. If we're likening mine in mine to you to yours, and if you mix it up, it's no good. Then the Gemara says, if that's the case, ma sheli b'shalach, just like if you shech the carbon in your domain, meaning outside of the Beis Hamikdash, onish kodesh, the punishment is kodesh. So af shalach b'sheli onish kodesh. Then you should also be punishable by kodesh if you shech your meat in the Beis Hamikdash, and we know that's not true. So Mari says no, because Amakra the pasuk says, "Vel Pesach el merid le'avi lahakiv karbon Hashem v'nichras." Because the Torah says like this: there's a pasuk that we just quoted, that if you bring a carbon outside of the Beis Hamikdash, and you didn't bring it to the Beis Hamikdash to shecht it, then the punishment is kodesh. So the Gemara says, what does the Torah say? Carbon is kodesh. And it's an exclusion. That only if you brought a carbon outside the Beis Hamikdash, you get killed. But if you brought your animal into the Beis Hamikdash to shecht, then you don't get kodesh. Al carbon einish, kodesh, for a carbon you got punishment of kodesh. But chulin that's brought inside the Beis Hamikdash, you don't get kodesh. So right away the Gemara says, 1 minute, we can refute it. If that's the case, the Gemara says, then you can't learn out the other din either. The Gemara wanted to prove that meat, your meat, mundane, everyday meat that was shecht in the Beis Hamikdash, you cannot benefit from. Where do we learn it out from? Because if a carbon was brought outside, it's not good. So therefore, if you brought your meat inside, it's also no good. But the Gemara says, 1 minute, but there's a big difference. This is punishable with karis, and this isn't. So maybe a carbon that shechted outside is forbidden to benefit from because the punishment is karis. It's a severe punishment. How do I know, though, that meat, your meat, that was brought in the Beis Hamikdash, because there is no carbon, maybe you could benefit from it. And you can't liken the two cases anymore, because there's automatically this disconnection because of the punishment. So how do you know meat brought into the Beis Hamikdash is forbidden to benefit from? From where do you learn it? So this is not a good proof. And the Gemara says, "Ikal mifroch, ma l'sheli b'shalach shekeinei nishkodes." You know why my carbon sacrifice outside is forbidden to benefit from because the punishment is kodes. But the other way, there's no kodes, so maybe you could benefit from it. So we're going back to the original question of the Gemara. The Mishnah said a statement that if you bring everyday meat into the Beis Hamikdash to shecht it, it becomes forbidden to benefit from. Therefore, the Kedushin is invalid. So the Gemara says, where do we learn it out from? Because you can't learn it out from Karis, because over there the punishment is Karis, that's where it's forbidden to benefit from. But how can you say over here it's forbidden to benefit? Maybe you could benefit from it. Okay, so Abaye answers, and this is a little, not, I won't say use the word complicated, it's gedreit, like they say in Yiddish. Elam Abaye says, Malchav from a different price. The Torah says, "Veshchotei, veshachat eisei, veshachat eisei." Okay, the Torah says about a carbon shlomim. Okay, the Torah says, "Shechtit, shechtit, shechtit," three times. One is about goats, one is about sheep, and one is about cattle. Now, carbon shlomim, which is by definition a peace offering, right, that you learned. It's called peace offering because the Mizbeach gets a part, the Kayanim get a part, the owner gets a part, everybody's happy. So it makes peace between everybody.
That's the reason it's called that?
Yeah.
For that reason?
Hmm.
What is it supposed to do, the shlomim?
Carbon shlomim could be, well, many cases of shlomim. The simple case is, Yomtiv, you have to come up to the Beis Hamikdash, so you have to bring a carbon shlomim, a carbon eila. You have to bring it. If a guy just wanted to donate a carbon.
What's
Chagiga? Chagiga was a shlomim.
Oh, same thing?
Chagiga was a carbon of the Chag.
Uh-huh.
But what type of carbon was it? It was a shlomim. Plus, you have to bring a carbon eila when they went up to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so it says like this. Oi! Tlas,
how many shlomim is...
Shlomim is... What do you mean? You can have it from goats, you can have it from male, you can have it from female.
I'm saying how many different types of korbans were brought from this image?
A lot. Look in before davening, before Hayda Yisei Zelma Kayman. So over there you have all the korbanos. You have shlamim, you have kachim, you have kachim kalim, you have teda, nazir, pesa. You have a lot of different korbanos. Right.
Was only one kind was not edible,
ola. No, some were eaten by nobody, only the mizbeach. Some were eaten only by kohanim. The shlamim was eaten by everybody, also.
But the one that you totally burn it for the
eaten by nobody.
That's only one.
No, not sin offering. A korban asham was eaten by the kohanim.
What percentage of the korbanot was eaten by nobody?
Depends. A guy could have brought a donation, a korban ola.
The
brint, that's ola. Ola means completely going up. Ola to Hashem, nobody eats it except the hide. The hide wasn't burnt on the Mizbeach. Okay, anyway, let's get back to the Gemara. So he says, okay, I'm going to have to give an introduction to this piece of Gemara like this. It's very interesting, even though it's not well known, so to speak. In the desert, until they came into Eretz Yisrael, if you wanted to eat meat, you had to bring a korban. If you wanted to go to, there was no such thing as a butcher shop in the desert. Even though they had a lot of cattle, Miknarav, the Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, there was a lot of cattle in the desert. The din was in the midbar, only in the midbar. If you wanted to eat meat, you had to bring a korban, shlamim, and then you can eat meat. It was forbidden to slaughter meat in the desert for personal use.
Before the Mishkan?
After the Mishkan.
The whole 40
before
years.
The whole 40 years.
How about before Mishkan?
The Mishkan was built right away.
You couldn't eat the cow in the desert?
Only if you brought a korban.
What about the quails?
Brought it as a korban.
The quails is a bird. We're talking about meat.
So they
didn't have meat in the base, unless if you brought a korban. That was halacha. Mar's going to explain the psukim we learned out from. Once they came into Eretz Yisrael, and the Torah says, because it's going to be ki yirchak mecho amokim, the Torah said like this. Once the Jews came in the midbar, they were all in the same area. Yeah. Okay, so Hashem said, you want to eat meat? You got to give me part of it. You got to bring a korban. Once the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, they were spread all over the place. The Beis Hamikdash was in Yerushalayim. Jews were far away. I mean, they didn't have planes in those days. So Hashem said, okay, now you can start shechting meat and eating it yourself. Okay. That was the din. So the Gemara says like this. Vishenama, because it says in the Pasuk, okay, the Pasuk speaks about when the Jews are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Torah says, Ki yirchak mimcha hamokim, when the place, meaning the Beis Hamikdash, will be far away from you, then vizavachto, then you could check the korban for yourself. Meaning, berichok mokim atazevech, when you're far away from the Beis Hamikdash, meaning, once he came into Eretz Yisrael, when Jews were far away from the Beis Hamikdash, then you could atazevech, then you could check the korban for yourself. But viatazevech, but mokim kodiv. But you cannot shech the for personal meat close by, meaning in the desert. Prat, which excludes though, lechulin shel yishchetu bazara, that chulin cannot be shechted outside of the Beis Hamikdash, outside of the Mishkan. Okay? So it says like this. What does this b'raisa say? It says, you want to eat meat? You can shecht it wherever you want. But a korban? No. So what does the Pasuk say when the Jews came in there to Israel? The Pasuk says, okay, you want to eat meat? You can shecht it wherever you want. But if it's a korban, then you can't shecht it wherever you want. That you have to bring to the Beis Hamikdash.
Since they didn't build it yet, what do they do?
No, well, they had the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael. It was the same din. Once he came into Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan was first in Shiloh, and then in Neiv, you know, the various different journeys the Mishkan made, until it came to Yerushalayim. until, I mean, once they built the Beis HaMikdash, there was no more Mishkan. But once they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to shecht meat and eat it. But the Torah says, when you want to eat meat, then you can shecht it. Okay? But a korban, then you can't shecht outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay?
So, one
second. V'ein li ala tamim. From this, they only know what can you not shecht. Only complete animals, meaning unblemished, which are fit to be a carbon. How do I know to include blemished animals that you could also do that? Says, because in blemished animals, the species, like cows, right? The cows are a kosher carbon. So, but you have a blemished cow still has in the cow family a kosher carbon. That's not blemished. How do I know to include even a wild animal? In other words, like this. For instance, a deer is a kosher animal. Okay? But you cannot bring any carbon from a beast. There's behema and chaya. You know, when your parents said, doesn't speak Yiddish, when your parents called you a wilde chaya, a wild beast, okay, or a chayero in Hebrew, they would call you a chayero, a wild beast. A chaya is a beast. Behema is an animal. Difference halachically between behema and chaya is, behema is a domestic animal, and a chaya is non-domestic. Okay? Huh?
Wild
animals. A deer is a kosher animal. Chooses cut has split hoofs. But it's not a kosher carbon. Because the Torah says, min ha-behema, min ha-boker, min ha-tzein. Never does the Torah say about chaya that you could bring a chaya as a carbon. So deer was never a kosher carbon. Okay? So it says like this. I know that you can shecht a cow that doesn't have a blemish. How do I know that you can shecht a cow with a blemish? He said, because logically, cows are good korbanos. How about a chaya? A chaya, a wild animal, a beast, is not a kosher animal, but not nevertheless, ma'arba anias a chaya, she b'shchita k'behem, at least it has a shchita like an animal. Minayin l'rabes ha'ifis, how do I know to include birds? Okay? Meaning, I would think not to include birds in this prohibition of shechting outside the Mishkan. Talmud Lemez of the Torah says, v'shchotei, v'shachatayisei, v'shachatayisei. The three shechitas mean it includes animals, beasts, and birds.
No fish.
1 minute. Well, I'll get to fish in a second. That means the Torah says that you cannot shecht. Three times the Torah says don't shecht. Right? Don't shecht outside the Mishkan or outside the Beis HaMikdash. Not beasts, not animals, and not birds. Okay? So the Torah basically is telling you cannot shecht outside the Beis HaMikdash. Not birds, not animals, and not beasts. Right? Then the Gemara says, but yochol ha-yishchet, I would think the sin is only to shecht it. But v'mshachet yeh mutter, but maybe if you did shecht it, maybe you could eat it. But we looked a lot of cases before. You can't do it, but if you did it, you can eat it. Right? So I would think, okay, the Mishnah learned out, the Braisa learned out from these psukim, you cannot shecht meat that's not a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Right?
Like a deer.
Right. You can't shecht the deer. Mm-hmm. That means even if you shecht the deer inside the Beis HaMikdash, not as a carbon for yourself, you're still going to get a sin because the Torah said, even though Lechayit is not fit to be a carbon, what do I care? Right? Nevertheless, the Torah says you can't shecht anything of your own personal usage, whether it's bird, beast, or animal, with a blemish or not, doesn't matter. You cannot shecht it inside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe you could eat it. Maybe you get a sin for shechting, but maybe you could eat it. Talmud Lamed, the Torah says, ki yichak ha-mokim v'zavachto v'achalto. The Torah says, if it will be far away from you, the Beis HaMikdash, then you can shecht it and eat it. what you shecht, meaning outside the Beis HaMikdash, what you're shechting for yourself far away, that you could eat. But you can't eat what you shechted in a closed place, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah says you can eat it when you shechted it far away, which means if you shechted it in the Beis HaMikdash, then you can't eat it.
The chel of the forbidden fat for chaya is not forbidden, like as it is with the
correct,
right?
Correct.
To eat the fat of a deer, you can't eat those fats.
And a deer, also, you don't have to cover the blood. Animals. You know, the shecht cows, you know, that has to be covered with blood. And chicken.
No deer.
No.
What do you mean by covered
blood?
No, you have to cover the blood.
Covered.
One second. Behema. One second. I think you're right. Yeah. Birds and beasts, you have to cover the blood, not animals.
So the reason we are not allowed to eat chelev, the forbidden fat of a
the Torah forbids it,
because they bring it up as a korban.
No,
no,
the Torah says there's a kosher. Okay. Now the Gemara is going through the same statement again. I only know complete animals that you can't eat it, which are fit to the mizbeach. How do I know bali mumin? Again, just Gemara is taking, first Gemara went through the shechita, now the Gemara is going through the eating process. I would think maybe a blemished animal you could shecht and eat. I mean, you can't shecht it, but you can eat it. So he says, ma bani bali mumin include in the eating because there's a type of that doesn't have a mumin. Minayin l'rabbi says chaya, how do I know that if you shechted a chaya in the Beis HaMikdash, not only are you getting a sin for shechting it, but you can't eat it, because it has shechita like a behema. Minayin l'rabbi says a eifis, how do we know to include the birds? Talmudayim v'shchotei v'shachateisei v'shachateisei, meaning like this. So far the Gemara is saying, you can't shecht it, and you can't eat it. Meaning, your meat, shechting in the Beis HaMikdash is a sin, whether it's bird, beast, or animal. You can't eat it, whether it's bird, beast, or animal. And now the Gemara is going to go into the third category. You can't even benefit from it. Which is what the Gemara is really trying to get to. Remember, the Gemara is trying to figure out, if I give a woman chulin shenish trubazara, private meat, personal meat, that was shecht in the Beis HaMikdash, it's forbidden to benefit from. And the Gemara is leading this whole Megillah, is to lead up, to prove from the Psukim that if you shechted personal meat inside the Beis HaMikdash, number one, there's three sins involved. Shechting it is a sin, eating it is a sin, and benefiting it is a, from it is a sin. And Igmar says, okay, Yochol Yishchet, I could think you're not allowed to shecht it. But maybe, im shachad yashechen lefnei klovim, maybe you can give it to dogs to eat. Maybe you could benefit from it. The Torah says, Nevela, the dead carcass of an animal that died without shechita, that you give to the dogs. But we are to mashlich chulin shenish chubazar. Meaning like this. The Torah says, by a Nevela, or treifa, meaning shechita wasn't good, the Torah says, Lakelev tashlichon oisei. Throw it to the dogs. The Torah could have said, Lakelev tashlichon. What is oisei? It. It is excluding something. It you can give to the dogs. It you could benefit from. But not chulin that was shechted in the Azara, that you cannot benefit from. And this is the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, just to explaining this one line of the Mishnah. How do I know that if a man gave a woman chulin that was shechted in the Beis HaMikdash for Kedushin, it's not valid because you're not allowed to benefit from? And the Gemara said this whole Megillah to teach us you can't benefit from it. Huh? The Kedushin is not valid because you didn't give the woman anything. You know, if you give a woman chametz and Pesach, it's also asibano. You know, it's coming to season. If a guy gives a woman a loaf of bread on Pesach and says, "Hey, at mekudeshesli, belechem zu kedas moshe b'yisrael," the din is not a valid kedushin. It goes even more, the Gemara says, and this is really a big chiddush in the Gemara. The Gemara says, you know, biblically, you can't eat chametz from midday onward. Yeah. Midday onward is from chatzos. Midday. The Chachamim added 2 hours no eating and 1 hour no benefiting. Right? So let's say the days from 6 to 6, just to make it easy. 12 o'clock, biblically it's forbidden to benefit from chametz. Okay? So if 12:30 in the afternoon, a man comes over to a woman and says, "Riyat mukadeshasi with this bread," no good. Right? Because the Torah says it's sasa bano. From 11 to 12, listen to this is remarkable. From 11 to 12, it's only rabbinically forbidden to benefit from. Biblically, you could. The Chacham say, no, you can't. Yeah? So what happens if 11:30, a man comes over to a woman with chametz, and he says, "Areat mekudeshesli with this chametz, kedas meisha v'yisrael." The Gemara says, "Eina mekudeshes." It's not kedushin.
Isn't it?
Eina mekudeshes. It's not. So the Gemara asks, in Pesachim, so the Gemara asks, 1 minute. The Torah says, it is valuable. That means, min ha-Torah, she's a married woman. She's an Eishes Ish. How could the Chacham say she's not? How could she say she's the Chomer coming along and say, no, she's not married. The Torah says she's an Eishes Ish. What do you mean? Biblically, she's a married woman, because the Chomer said the 11:30, min ha-Torah was worth something. And yet the Gemara says, no, it's not a good Kedushin. So the Gemara says, how could that be? So the Gemara answers, "Kol haMekadesh Adaita D'Rabbanan Mekadesh." When you do Kedushin, it's based on what the Chachamim want, and the Chachamim said this bread is worthless, so the Kedushin is worthless.
Before they have this Rabbanical is accepted, now they don't accept it?
No.
The case of before they accepted.
No, they didn't. If it's rabbinically forbidden by the law, it's also no good. You know, when you do Kedushin, if you ever listen to a wedding, yeah? What do they say? Yeah? Why do they add Kedas Meshav Yisrael? Why don't they just say, Areat Mekudeshesli, period. You are consecrated to me. Why do they say Kedas Meshav Yisrael? Because the Gemara says, you know why you say that? Because when you do a Kedushin with a woman, it's under what the Chachamim want. Kedas Meshav Yisrael. Not what you want. What the Chachamim want. And therefore the Chachamim say, it's no good, it's worthless, because it's rabbinically osir bano, then the Kedushin is not valid.
How about a no promising delivery of the chametz post tassel?
The guy has a tree that doesn't have fruit yet. Okay? And he says to a woman, "Areat mekudeshesli, with the fruit that will grow on that tree." Is it good?
No, but we're talking about the tree. How about the tree?
Whoa. Is it good what I said?
I don't know.
No.
Because the fruit doesn't exist yet.
Fruit doesn't exist yet.
But the tree exists.
What happens if a man has a female slave who's pregnant, non-Jewish slave, that the kids belong to the master? Yeah? He comes over to a woman, and the slave is still pregnant. The baby's not born yet. It says, "Ereat mekudeshesli," with this baby that's going to be born. Even though the baby's around, the mother's around too, but the baby's around, it's still no good. If a guy says to a woman, "Ereat mekudeshesli," she's a shiksa now, and she's in the process of conversion, and he says, "Ereat mekudeshesli," when you convert, no good.
Yeah, well, these are all a little different than the
bread. Something
bread. No, if he said Areat mekudeshesli with the tree, if he gives her the tree, yeah, it's a good kedushin because the tree is here.
But you give her a note that I'm going to give you the tree
No, he has to actually give it a note. I mean, the tree. He can't give a note.
We have to transfer something. Hand it to hand. If not, it's not acceptable.
No, she. If I give her...
You should be hand it to hand it. Something.
If I say to a woman, I am a Kadesh with this house.
With this house?
Or with this car. She has to pick up the car.
So how... Why they give... Why they changing the ring or something?
Why do you use a ring?
They give something.
What? So something. There's a couple of reasons for the ring.
She have to make an expression acquisition.
Like, sure, she could acquire it. If it's done in a way that she could acquire it.
I thought that if somebody, let's say, the guy owes money or owes money, you could be able to use that as means of valuable.
No, we learned that whole Gemara and Davav. You can't. It depends what you're saying.
Like.
If I lend a woman $100, remember we learned, I'm a Kaddish b'milva, the Gemara says, ain't a Kaddishes. Right, davav before. A guy says to a woman, okay, I lent you, a guy lends a woman $100 yesterday. Right? He comes over to the woman and says, hariat m'kaddishesli with the money I gave you yesterday. It's not valid. Because he's not, that money is spent. Halachically, even if it's not, it's spent. Right now he's not giving her anything. But if he says, Hariat Mekadeshasi, that you don't have to pay me back the loan, then he's giving her now $100. Then he's giving her something now. Then it would be a good Kiddush. So you have to give her something. But it doesn't have to be necessarily something that you're giving her.
Tangible? Is that should be tangible?
No.
That $100 is also a note. It's not...
No, you're giving it
out.
You're giving it to her. That in itself, that paper... It's just worth what somebody will give.
What happens if a guy gives a woman a check? Hadayat Mekadesh, you'll see. He writes out a check for one penny.
And it's not.
Okay, he's a nice guy. A dollar check. Okay? And he gives it a check and says, Hadayat Mekadesh, you'll see. Okay. It's not so simple that it's Kiddush. It's not a good Kiddush.
It doesn't have the money in the account.
It's not so simple.
If it doesn't have the money in the account, is it acceptable?
Yeah. It's acceptable even if you don't have money right now in the account. As long as when the guy cashes the check, there'll be money. Okay. What? Yeah.
We don't use this union for Aguna. From beginning.
Because that doesn't work. It's not a condition. There are cases in the Gemara that the Gemara uproots the Kedushin retroactively, but those are very uncommon cases in the Gemara. I'll give you one case that the Gemara says this, but I don't know why this case, there's a lot of cases, why this case falls into my head now. No, that's because that was never a Kedushin. The Gemara tells a story like this. A guy sent to get to his wife through a shliach. Okay? The husband changed his mind before the shliach gave the get. The husband said, I changed my mind, I don't want to give the get. The shliach didn't give the get yet. So technically, he's a non-shliach already. But he didn't get the email on time. In the time of the Gemara, he didn't get the email. So the shliach doesn't know anything. He gives the woman the get. Nobody knows that the guy nullified the get. Okay? The woman now seemingly has a kosher get. Okay? Then what happened was, the woman went to be married. You have to keep in mind, in the old days, there was no communications. Okay? There's no telephone, no nothing. There's no communications. In the good old days, yeah, believe me, they were much happier in those days. They had peace of mind for a few minutes. So what happened was, the woman remarried. Now the shaila is, l'chayda, the kid would be a mamzer. Because the husband nullified the get. Right? He was mevatel the shliach. So the get was nullified. She didn't know. She remarried. So there's a case in the Gemara that the Chacham in that case retroactively actively uprooted her first kedushin. The first kedushin. So when she got married to the second guy, she was never married to the first guy because she was never married to him.
What if she had kids with the first
guy? So what? So was that a wedlock?
Is that because of the case of mamzer? They did that.
Yeah.
Would the first ones, with the first kids, become mamzer?
No. Why? Why the first kids mamzer?
Because she was never married to the guy.
So man and woman are not married and have kids. They're mamzer. The kids are mamzer. Why?
Oh, that's because there wasn't the issue of the.
Not the. There's no.
The divorce is not working because they didn't marry.
The kids were born out of wedlock is not mamzerim. Mamzerim is if it's adultery, incest, something, you know, with forbidden relations.
But I'm saying, why you cannot do this for
Advona? Not that. Doesn't work like that. Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara is said like this. Ashkechinu Mar Yehuda, this guy, the name of Mar Yehuda. It wasn't Rav Yehuda, Mar Yehuda. His name was Mr. Yehuda. The Rav Yosef, Rav Shmuel Brei, the Rabbi Bar Chana, he met Rav Yosef, Rav Shmuel Brei, the Rabbi Bar Chana, the Avakamer Pischa, the Bei Rabbi. They were next to, in the doorway of Rabbi's yeshiva. Rav Yosef and Rav Shmuel Brei, the Rabbi Bar Chana, were students of Rabbi. So this Yehuda guy met them in the yeshiva of Rabbi's doorway. So he says, Amalahu, he said to them, I have a question to ask you. Says Tanya, I'm a kaddish be petach hamer. Remember, we learned petach hamer means if you have a firstborn donkey, okay, you have to chop off the head, and then it's forbidden to benefit from or basav acholof or chul and shenish trubazarom. It says in the Bible like this: if a guy did kedusha with one of these three things, that our Mishnah says is not good. Okay, but it says that a pshimen emer mekudeshes. Rav Shimon says it is a good kedushin because they're not forbidden to benefit from. And Chachamim Meimim ain't a mekudeshes. Chachamim Oleg Amish just says it's not a good kedushin because it's forbidden to benefit from. Alma, so the fact that Rav Shimon said that the kedushin is valid means he holds Chulin Shenishu Tchub Azara, Chulin Shechted in the Azara is not the Eraisa. Is not biblically forbidden. Because if it would be biblically forbidden, how can the kedushin be good? Right? So obviously we must say that Rabbi Shimon holds it's not biblically good. I mean, it's not biblically forbidden, it's only rabbinically forbidden. So he says, V'raminu, I'll ask you a question. A contradiction, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, name Rabbi Shimon says, Chulin shenishchu bazoro, Chulin that was shechtin dazoro, Yisarfu, you have to burn it. Because you can't use it, you can't eat it, you can't benefit, you have to burn it. The same thing, a beast. Shechted in Azara, you're not allowed to benefit from it and you have to burn it. So this Yehuda guy comes to these two rabbis and says, I have a contradiction to ask you. In one Mishnah, Rav Shimon says, Chul and Shenishchu Bazara is permissible to benefit from, meaning it's not biblically forbidden. And yet another braisa, Rav Shimon says, you have to burn it. Which means, it is forbidden to benefit from. So which one is it? What does Rav Shimon hold? This or that? Ishtiku. They were quiet, they had no answer. Well, here's some time. Ishtiku, they were silenced. Okay?
You see, Yehuda's smart. Why silence?
They didn't know an answer.
One is forbidden, one is answer.
What? No, the same case.
I mean, what is the talking about?
Chulin shenishchu is always forbidden, whether it's in the midbar. If it chulin shechted in the base of Migdosh, it's no good. So one place Rav Shimon says mukadeshes, one place Rav Shimon says you have to burn it. So they didn't know an answer. Also lekami derava. So they came to Rabba. Armelos Rabba said, "Ah, palgu ugminchu." My dissenter stumped you. This guy, Rabbi knew, this guy Yehuda, was very sharp, and he had a hobby of asking people questions to stump them. That was his role in life. to stump people. So he says, oh, the stumper got you. His rabbi says, not even a question. It's not a problem. The case is like this. He shechted it in the azara, but the animal was treif. Meaning there was something wrong with the lungs, something wrong with the inside of the animals. But Rab Shimon Latame, and Rab Shimon goes according to his own logic, that Rab Shimon says, Hashechet es atreifa. If somebody shechts the treifa, or Hashechet venimsas treifa, if somebody shechts it and it becomes a treifa, Zevizel Chulin Ba'azara is called Chulin Ba'azara, and you get a sin. But Rab Shimon Eimer Mutter Bahano. Rab Shimon says he could benefit from it. It's not Chulin Shenish Chdu Bazara. So Rabbi said, what's the problem over here? When Rab Shimon said the Kedushin is valid, Chulin that was shechted in the Azara is speaking in a case when he shechted it, the animal turned out to be treif. It wasn't a good kosher animal. So Rab Shimon says, that is Mutter Bahano. When does Rab Shimon say chulin is that was shechted in the azara is forbidden to benefit from? When it was a good shechita, and then you have to burn it, you can't benefit from it. It's not a contradiction. It's two different cases. One case is speaking you shechted in the azara, but it came out to be treif. So Rab Shimon says it's mutar ba'anah. So therefore the kedushin is valid. The braisa that Rab Shimon says you have to burn it. Speaking when it wasn't a treifa, because it wasn't a treifa, you have to burn it. No, you have to burn it because you can't benefit. Yeah, you can't benefit from it. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Okay, middle of the page of Nunches. Now the Mishnah says all these things, like the Gemara that the Mishnah was saying is asibana. Okay. For instance, Truma, Meiser, Mechatos, or all the other, Basiv, Cholov, you know, Petach, Hamar, all these things. The din is, the Mishnah says, what happens if you sell them? Okay, you took the meat and milk, gave it as Kedushin, it's no good. Okay, because you can't benefit from it. What happens if a guy sold the meat, he wasn't allowed to, but he did. He sold the meat and milk to a guy, and he took the money and gave it to the woman for Kedushin. The Mishnah says then the Kedushin is valid. That's what the Mishnah said. Okay, we just, you know, if he gives it the bas of a cholov straight, or the petach hamer, or the chulin shenishchu bazara straight, then because this is asur bano, you're not giving her anything. What happens though, if you sold it, which you weren't allowed to, but you did, and you gave her the money, the Kedushin is valid.
The money is not valid money.
It is.
Why? Because you cannot get
the
benefit.
The Mishnah is saying that you could, that it is.
It's not, you can't get the benefit.
I'll give you an example. And the Gemara is going to discuss this now, but it's getting late. So let me just say some things before we get in inside. Avei Dezara, if you sell an Avei Dezara, the money becomes forbidden. You exchange that money for another thing, that thing's forbidden. Okay, certain sins, certain objects, which are forbidden to benefit from, it keeps going.
Continuously.
Even hegdish, let's say. Right? If you switch hegdish for money, the money becomes holy. Correct?
Yeah.
So if somebody gives a woman hegdish, we learned before in the Mishnah, earlier Mishnah, it's not a good kedushin, because the hegdish she can't benefit from. Then the Mishnah says, what happens if you sell hegdish and give her the money? It's also no good, because now the money became holy. Okay? This Mishnah, though, says that if it's Basar V'Cholov, Chulin Shenishchu Bazara, Petach Hamar, Arla, any of these things that are forbidden to benefit from, if you give those objects to the woman herself for Kedushin, it's not good. But if you sell them, and again, you weren't allowed to, but you sold them, and you give the money to the woman, it's a good Kedushin. Okay? So the Gemara is going to ask, why? Why by Avei Dezara and Hegdish, the din is the money, is that just like the thing itself? And why over here is different? So the Gemara says, Minolan, from where do we learn out that the exchanged money would be a valid kedusha. So Gemara says like this: Mi de galer achmana b'avedes kechovim, because by idol worshipping, the Torah says clearly, va'yisa chedem kamayu, the money you will be banned like the object of avedes zara itself. Therefore, kol sha'ata mahaya meno, anything you're going to generate from the avedes zara becomes kamayu, like the avedes zara itself. The Torah says. Mechlal, the chol isurin shebetayra show. So we see from here, though, everything else, the money doesn't become usur. In other words, by aveda zara, the Torah says, anything that happens to this object, anything you generate from it, is going to be just like aveda zara itself. Okay, the Gemara is going to talk, hegdish itself is also like that. But otherwise, anything that the Torah forbids to benefit from, and you sell it, again, even though you weren't allowed to sell it because it's asur b'ano, but the money does not become forbidden.
Except for avodah zarah.
Except for avodah zarah. And one more thing, shvius we're going to learn.
And chidush from the Beit HaMikdash also, too.
Yeah, but hegdish, again, so the money becomes holy, so the object doesn't. But by avodah zarah, everything remains forbidden. By hegdish, if let's say fragment, this Gemara is hegdish, and I sell it, so then the money becomes holy, but the Gemara is not holy. By Aveda Zara, the idol is forbidden, your money is forbidden, what you buy from the money is forbidden, it keeps going. By Yisa Chedam Kamayhu, the Torah says, anything you do to it becomes Kamayhu. Like the Aveda Zara itself. But everything else, that's Asibana, if you sell it, it's a good Kedusha. In other words, just because it's forbidden doesn't make it a non-valid kedushin. In other words, Shabbos, you can't acquire things, correct? So you can't do kedushin Shabbos. You can't do kedushin on Shabbos. Even though the Four Seasons in the summer has weddings every Shabbos afternoon, but we're talking, according to Halacha, you can't. Okay? What happens if a man comes over to a woman on Shabbos in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring, and says, "I am Mekudesh Yisrael with the Bazu Kedas Meishav Yisrael"?
She has to accept the first.
What? Right? Yeah, of course. Is he allowed to do it? No. Is she kedushin? 100%.
But she has to accept the first.
She needs a get. I can take it. This is even rabbinically forbidden. This is only one second. This is only rabbinically forbidden. I'll tell you another case. A Kayan comes over to a divorcee. The Kohen is allowed to marry a divorcee, correct?
Okay?
No, Kohen Gadol can't marry a widow or any either. A regular Kohen cannot marry a Grusha. Right? You can't marry a divorcee. You can't marry a Giyaitis. There's a lot of things you can't marry. What happens if a Kohen comes over to a woman who's a divorcee in front of two witnesses and says to Ariat Mekadesh Shalti B'Tabazu Kadas Meshav Yisrael? The din is, they have an obligation, the divorce. But she is a married woman. If she commits adultery with somebody, they get killed. Because she's a married woman. But, we learned in the Gemara before, what happens if a guy comes over to his single, unmarried sister? Okay? In front of two witnesses, says, "Hi sis, Hareat Mekadesh Yisli B'Tabazu Kadas Meshav Yisrael," it is completely invalid.
Rabbi, a question.
What?
They have to accept this
matter,
right?
They did. They accepted.
Oh, she accepted it.
I said she accepted it, yeah?
From the beginning, is invalid.
Because that is capital punishment. Relations which are capital punishment forbidden, that Kedusha is not valid. If it's only biblically forbidden, but not death, the Gemara learns out, the Kedusha is valid.
And then
except Rabbi Kiva disagrees. What?
The first case.
She would need a get.
The Kohen knowingly, and both of them know about the halacha.
Yeah, it's still a kedushin. She needs a get. And if she commits adultery, she commits adultery.
Why would she need a get if she's marrying the Kohen you're talking about?
Yeah.
I'll forget it.
She needs a get. He needs a get. They both need a get.
Right away, or
they have an obligation to divorce.
But he loses his Kohening thing, right?
Yeah. But so what? But she's still a married woman. That's what we're talking about here.